Tickets.com.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan, and today we're going to be raising funds to help keep WMNF on the air. We'll also hear a great speech this hour by Chris Hedges. We're trying to raise $1,000 this hour. That means if we have 10 people who can call in a $100 donation, or if there's someone out there who can make a $1,000 donation, that would certainly put us over the goal. The number to call in is 813-238-8001, or if you're having a hard time getting in by phone, you can try our secure website. It's WMNF.org, or you can hit the tip jar on the WMNF app. Let me tell you a little bit about the speech we're going to be hearing this hour. You can get the CD copy of this speech for a donation of $80. It's by Chris Hedges, and it's called Beyond the Politics of Despair. And we all experience despair. It can lead to demoralization. In this speech, which was recorded just before Joe Biden's victory over Trump, Chris Hedges asks, what's the antidote to despair? And his answers are engagement, finding kindred spirits, and acting collectively, building bonds of solidarity and working toward the common good. Chris Hedges is an award-winning journalist who has reported from the Balkans, the Middle East, and Central America. He writes a weekly column for Shearpost.com. He's the author of many books, including Death of the Liberal Class, Wages of Rebellion, and America, the Farewell Tour. And we're going to hear a speech by him right now as we take your donations. And you can get a CD copy of this speech for a donation of $80. You can call 813-238-8001. You can donate at WMNF.org or on the WMNF app. We'll be back to thank people in just a few minutes, but here's the beginning of the speech by Chris Hedges, Beyond the Politics of Despair.
All we do must have the single aim of crippling the power of the ruling elites in the hopes of new systems of governance that can implement the radical reforms to save us and the world. The most difficult existential dilemma we face is to at once acknowledge the bleakness before us and act, to refuse to succumb to cynicism and despair.
That's Chris Hedges, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Chris Hedges on Beyond the Politics of Despair. Despair, we all experience it. It can lead to demoralization. What's the antidote? Engagement. Finding kindred spirits and acting collectively. Building bonds of solidarity. Working toward the common good. John Lewis, longtime Georgia congressperson and civil rights icon, had this advice. Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful, be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It's the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble. Our guest today is Chris Hedges, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. He spoke at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York, in mid-October 2020. And now, Chris Hedges.
The physical and moral decay of the United States and the malaise it has spawned have predictable results. We have seen in varying forms the consequences of social and political collapse during the twilight of the Greek and Roman empires, the Ottoman and Habsburg empires, Tsarist Russia, Weimar Germany, and the former Yugoslavia. Voices from the past, Aristotle, Cicero, Fyodor Dostoevsky, Joseph Roth, and Milo Vangelis warned us. But blinded by self-delusion and hubris, as if we are somehow exempt from human experience and human nature, we refuse to listen. The United States is a shadow of itself. It squanders its resources in futile military adventurism, a symptom of all empires in decay, as they attempt to restore a lost hegemony by force. Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, tens of millions of lives wrecked, failed states, enraged fanatics. We are piling up massive deficits, $3.1 trillion, while neglecting our basic infrastructure, including electrical grids, roads, bridges, and public transportation, to spend more on our military than all the other major powers on Earth combined. We are the world's largest producer and exporter of arms and munitions. The virtues we argue that we have a right to impose by force on others, human rights, democracy, the free market, the rule of law, and personal freedoms are mocked at home, where grotesque levels of social inequality and austerity programs have impoverished most of the public, destroyed democratic institutions, including Congress, the courts, and the press, and created militarized forces of internal occupation that carry out wholesale surveillance of the public, run the largest prison system in the world, and gun down unarmed citizens in the streets with impunity. The American burlesque, darkly humorous, with its absurdities of Donald Trump, fake ballot boxes, conspiracy theorists who believe the deep state and Hollywood run a massive child sex trafficking ring, Christian fascists that place their faith in magic Jesus and teach creationism as science in our schools, 10-hour-long voting lines in states such as Georgia, militia members planning to kidnap the governors of Michigan and Virginia to start a civil war, is also ominous, especially as we ignore the accelerating ecocide. All of our activism, protests, lobbying, petitions, appeals to the United Nations, the work of NGOs, and misguided trust in liberal politicians such as Barack Obama have been accompanied by a 60% rise in global carbon emissions since 1990. Estimates predict another 40% rise, almost all of it baked into the system, in global emissions in the next decade. That means we are less than a decade away from carbon dioxide levels reaching 450 parts per million, the equivalent to a 2 degrees Celsius average temperature rise, a global catastrophe that will make parts of the Earth uninhabitable, flood coastal cities, dramatically reduce crop yields, and result in suffering and death for billions of people. This is what is coming, and we can't wish it away. I speak to you from Troy, New York, once the second largest producer of iron in the country after Pittsburgh. It was once an industrial hub for the garment industry, a center for the production of shirts, shirtwaist, collars, and cuffs, and was once home to foundries that made bells and firms that crafted precision instruments. All that is gone, of course, leaving behind the post-industrial decay, the urban blight, and the shattered lives and despair that are sadly familiar in most cities in the United States. It is this despair that is killing us. It eats into the social fabric, rupturing social bonds, and manifests itself in an array of self-destructive and aggressive pathologies. It fosters what the anthropologist Roger Lancaster calls poisoned solidarity, the communal intoxication forged from the negative energies of fear, suspicion, envy, and the lust for vengeance and violence. Nations in terminal decline embrace, as Sigmund Freud understood, the death instinct, no longer sustained by the comforting illusion of inevitable human progress. They lose the only antidote to nihilism. No longer able to build, they confuse destruction with creation. They descend into an atavistic savagery, something not only Freud, but Joseph Conrad and Primo Levi knew, lurks beneath the thin veneer of civilized society. Reason does not guide our lives. Reason, as Schopenhauer puts it, echoing Hume, is the hard-pressed servant of the will. Men are not gentle creatures who want to be loved and who, at the most, can defend themselves if they are attacked, Freud wrote. They are, on the contrary, creatures among whose instinctual endowments is to be reckoned a powerful share of aggressiveness. As a rule, this cruel aggressiveness waits for some provocation or puts itself at the service of some other purpose, whose goal might also have been reached by milder means. In circumstances that are favorable to it, when the mental counter forces which ordinarily inhibit it are out of action, it also manifests itself spontaneously and reveals man as a savage beast to whom consideration towards his own kind is something alien. Freud, like Primo Levi, got it. The moral life is largely a matter of circumstances. Moral consideration, as I saw in the wars I covered, usually disappears in moments of extremity. It is too often the luxury of the privileged. 10% of any population is cruel no matter what, and 10% is merciful no matter what, and the remaining 80% can be moved in either direction, Susan Sontag said. To survive, it was necessary, Primo Levi wrote of life in the death camps, to throttle all dignity and kill all conscience, to climb down into the arena as a beast against other beasts, to let oneself be guided by those unsuspected subterranean forces which sustain families and individuals in cruel times. It was, he wrote, a Hobbesian life, a continuous war of everyone against everyone. Social collapse will bring these latent pathologies to the surface. But the fact that circumstances can reduce us to savagery does not negate the moral life. As our empire implodes, and with it social cohesion, as the earth increasingly punishes us for our refusal to honor and protect the systems that give us life, triggering a scramble for diminishing natural resources and huge climate migrations, we must face this darkness, not only around us, but within us. The dance macabre is already underway. Hundreds of thousands of Americans die each year from opioid overdoses, alcoholism, and suicide, what sociologists call deaths of despair. This despair fuels high rates of morbid obesity, perhaps 40% of the public, gambling addictions, the pornification of the society with the ubiquitous images of sexual sadism, along with the proliferation of armed right-wing militias and nihilistic mass shootings. And as despair mounts, so will these acts of self-immolation. Those overwhelmed by despair seek magical solutions, whether in crisis cults such as the Christian right, or demagogues such as Trump, or rage-filled militias that see violence as a cleansing agent. As long as these dark pathologies are allowed to fester and grow, and the Democratic Party has made it clear it will not enact the kinds of radical social reforms that will curb these pathologies. The United States will continue its march towards disintegration and social upheaval.
We're listening to a speech by Chris Hedges, and it's called Beyond the Politics of Despair. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. You can get a CD copy of this speech for a donation of $80. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday right now. And if you'd like a copy of this speech, give us a call at 813-238-8001. You can also go to the website, WMNF.org. We have a lot of people to thank right now, but I want to thank you as well. If you call 813-238-8001 and make a donation. I'd like to thank our Avrio Taylor from St. Petersburg is getting the WMNF t-shirt. Thank you so much for that contribution. And David Smitherman from Clearwater has contributed $63. Thanks for that donation. Says already a member of Circle of Friends, but donating again. Mike and Susan Royal from Anna Maria, thank you for the $50 contribution. Appreciate that. Loves Radioactivity. Ross Windham from Sarasota donating $25 and says, I love all the shows. If you love the shows, give us a call at 813-238-8001 or donate on the web at WMNF.org. Rob, do you have some people to thank?
Yeah, thanks to Charmaine Martinez from Pinellas Park, who made a $30 contribution, says, keep up the good work. Thanks to Anonymous in Sarasota, made a $100 contribution. Thank you, Anonymous. And Esther Lennox from Sarasota just made a $50 contribution. Esther, thank you. You're helping us stay alive. Wendy Miller from Pinellas Park just made a $75 donation. Thank you. Stuart wrote in and said that he's making a $42 contribution. Kirk Sink from St. Petersburg has just made a $250 contribution. He wants a bumper sticker. Thank you, Kirk. And thanks to Anonymous in Tampa, who made a $100 contribution. Thank you. And another Anonymous in Dunedin made a $105 contribution. Nice. So that's really good. Sean, I think we need to raise $1,000 this hour. If we can do that, we will be on track. Please go online, go to WMNF.org, WMNF.org, and help us reach that goal of $1,000 this hour. And we'll have a really great fundraising day. This is the last day of a two-day fund drive, and we're trying to raise over 2 days a lot of money. And during this public affairs slot, we're trying to raise $8,500 from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
It's so encouraging to hear our news and public affairs supporters coming through with their donations. And if you'd like to get a copy of this Chris Hedges speech on CD, which we'll hear in just a minute, it's an $80 contribution. Thank you to Anonymous from Thanota Sassa for a $105 contribution. Anonymous is getting a WMNF face mask. Vicki Stevenson from Murdoch, Florida, $100 contribution, also getting the face mask. Loves WMNF and everything you do for all of us, so thank you for that. Roswitha Timbrell from Germany. Okay, yep. Couldn't tell where that
listening
was from.
Online.
Thank you for that, for a $500 contribution.
Whoa,
that's a very generous contribution, adding to the Circle of Friends by sharing some extra. Thank you so much. We need you more now than ever. Keep up the good work. So thank you to Rose in Germany. Also, Karen Underwood has donated $88.50 on top of her Circle of Friends donation. She loves the station, loves the diversity, great music and news, and is getting a CD copy of this Chris Hedges talk, so thank you for that. Also, Anonymous is contributing $75. Thank you for that. Lisa Gillette from Kenneth City, $116.77 contribution, is getting the WMNF Peace Mag in it. And she says, thank you for playing the speech from Arnold Schwarzenegger, that is. It brought tears to my eyes. It felt warm in my heart. I wish I could share it with my friends and family. Well, this is on the WMNF.org website, so you can share the Arnold Schwarzenegger video by going to WMNF.org and sharing it from there. Also, Anonymous has donated $50, and thank you for that contribution from Anonymous. Now we'd like to thank you, 813-238-8001, or you can donate on our website, WMNF.org, or you can hit the tip jar on our WMNF phone app. We're going to go back now to more of this Chris Hedges speech, and I'll be back to thank people in just a few minutes. But this is Chris Hedges speaking about Beyond the Politics of Despair. He spoke in October of 2020, so this was just before the 2020 presidential election in November. You can have a copy of this speech for a donation of $80. You're listening to WMNF Tampa's Midpoint Monday, 813-238-8001. Here's more of Chris Hedges.
And removing Trump will neither halt nor slow the descent. An estimated 300,000 Americans will be dead from the COVID-19 pandemic by December, a figure that is expected to rise to 400,000 in January. Chronic underemployment and unemployment, close to 20%, when those who have stopped looking for work, those furloughed with no prospect of being rehired, and those who work part-time but are still below the poverty line, are included in the official statistics instead of being magically erased from the unemployment rolls. Our privatized healthcare system, which is making record profits during the pandemic, is not designed to cope with a public health emergency. It is designed to maximize profits for its owners. There are fewer than 1 million hospital beds in the United States, a result of the decades-long trend of hospital mergers and closures that have reduced access to care in communities across the country. Cities such as Milwaukee have been forced to erect field hospitals. In states such as Mississippi, there are no longer any ICU beds available. The for-profit healthcare service did not stockpile the ventilators, masks, tests, or drugs to deal with the pandemic. Why should it? This is not a route to increased revenue. 48% of frontline workers remain ineligible for sick pay. Some 43 million Americans have lost their employee-sponsored health insurance. There are 10,000 bankruptcies a day, with perhaps two-thirds of them tied to exorbitant medical costs. Food banks are overrun with tens of thousands of desperate families. Roughly 10 to 14 million renter households, that's between 23 and 24 million people, were behind on their rent in September. That amounts to $12 to $17 billion in unpaid rent. And that figure is expected to rise to $34 billion in past due rent by January. The lifting of the moratorium on evictions and foreclosures will mean that millions of families, many destitute, will be tossed into the street. Hunger in U.S. households almost tripled between 2019 and August of this year, according to the Census Bureau and the Department of Agriculture. The proportion of American children who did not have enough to eat, the study found, is 14 times higher than it was last year. And a study by Columbia University found that since May, there are 8 million more Americans who can be classified as poor. Meanwhile, the 50 richest Americans hold as much wealth as half of the United States, while millennials, some 72 million people, have 4.6% of the U.S. wealth. Only one thing matters to the corporate state. It is not democracy. It is not truth. It is not the consent of the governed. It is not income inequality. It is not the surveillance state. It is not endless war. It is not jobs. It is not the climate crisis. It is the primacy of corporate power, which has extinguished our democracy, taken from us our most basic civil liberties, and left most of the working class in misery, and the increase and consolidation of its wealth and power. In America, we are only permitted to vote against what we hate. Partisan media outlets set one group against another, a consumer version of what George Orwell in his novel 1984 called the 2 minutes of hate. Our opinions and prejudices are skillfully catered to and reinforced with the aid of a detailed digital analysis of our proclivities and habits, and then sold back to us. The result, as Matt Taibbi writes, is packaged anger just for you. the public unable to speak across the manufactured divide. Politics under the assault is atrophied into a tawdry reality show centered on manufactured political personalities. Civic discourse has been poisoned by invective and lies. Power, meanwhile, is left unexamined and unchallenged. Political coverage is modeled, as Taibbi points out, on sports coverage. The sets look like the sets on Sunday NFL Countdown. The anchor is on one side. There are four commentators, two from each team. Graphics keep us updated on the score. Political identities are reduced to easily digestible stereotypes. Tactics, strategy, image, the monthly tallies of campaign contributions and polling are endlessly examined, while real political issues are ignored. It is, of course, the language and imagery of war. This kind of coverage masks the fact that on nearly all the major issues, the two ruling political parties are in complete agreement. The deregulation of the financial industry, trade agreements, the militarization of the police, and the Pentagon has transferred more than $7.4 billion in excess military gear and hardware to nearly 8,000 federal and state law enforcement agencies since 1990. The explosion in the prison population, deindustrialization, austerity, support for fracking and the fossil fuel industry, the endless wars in the Middle East, the bloated military budget, the control of elections and mass media by corporations, and the wholesale government surveillance of the population. And when the government watches you 24 hours a day, you cannot use the word liberty. This is the relationship of a master and a slave. All have bipartisan support. And for this reason, these issues are almost never discussed. The goal is to set demographic against demographic. The stoking of antagonism is not, however, news. It is entertainment, driven not by journalism but marketing strategies to increase viewership and corporate sponsors. News divisions are corporate revenue streams competing against other corporate revenue streams. The template for news, as Taibbi writes in his book Hate Inc., the cover of which has Sean Hannity on one side and Rachel Maddow on the other, is the simplified morality play used in professional wrestling. There are only two real political positions in the United States. You love Trump or you hate him. The Democrats and their liberal apologists adopt tolerant positions on issues regarding race, religion, immigration, women's rights, and sexual identity, and pretend this is politics. But these issues are societal or ethical issues. They are important, but they are not social or political issues. The seizure of control of the economy by a class of global speculators and corporations has ruined the lives of the very groups the Democrats pretend to lift up. When Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party, for example, destroyed the old welfare system, 70% of the recipients were children. Those on the right of the political spectrum, and we must never forget that the positions of the Democratic Party would make it a far-right party in Europe, demonize those on the margins of society as scapegoats. The culture wars mask the reality. Both parties are full partners in the destruction of our democratic institutions. Both parties have reconfigured American society into a mafia state. It only depends on how you want it dressed up. The power of politicians such as Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Mitch McConnell comes from being able to funnel corporate money to anointed candidates. In a functioning political system, one not saturated with corporate cash, they would not hold power. They have transformed what the Roman philosopher Cicero called a commonwealth, a res publica, a public thing, or the property of a people, into an instrument of pillage and repression on behalf of a global corporate oligarchy. We are serfs ruled by the obscenely rich, omnipotent masters who loot the U.S. Treasury, pay little or no taxes, and have perverted the judiciary, the media, and the legislative branches of government to strip us of civil liberties and give them the freedom to engage in financial fraud and theft. In the midst of the pandemic, what did our ruling kleptocrats do? They looted $4 trillion on a scale unseen since the 2008 bailout overseen by Barack Obama and Biden. They gorged and enriched themselves at our expense while tossing crumbs out the windows of their private jets, yachts, penthouses, and palatial estates to the suffering and despised masses. The CARES Act handed trillions in funds or tax breaks to oil companies, the airline industry, which alone got $50 billion in stimulus money, the cruise ship industry, and gave a $170 billion windfall to the real estate industry. It handed subsidies to private equity firms, lobbying groups, whose political action committees have given some $200 million in campaign contributions to politicians in the last two decades. The meat industry, and corporations that have moved offshore to avoid paying U.S. taxes. The CARES Act allowed the largest corporations to gobble up money that was supposed to keep small businesses solvent to pay workers. It gave 80% of tax breaks under the stimulus package to millionaires and allowed the wealthiest to get stimulus checks that averaged $1.7 million. The CARES Act also authorized $454 billion for the Treasury Department's Exchange Stabilization Fund, a massive slush fund doled out by Trump cronies to corporations that, when leveraged 10 to 1, can be used to create a staggering $4.5 trillion in assets. The Act authorized the Fed to give $1.5 trillion in loans to Wall Street, which no one expects will ever be repaid. American billionaires have gotten $434 billion richer since the pandemic. Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, whose corporation Amazon paid no federal taxes last year alone, added nearly $72 billion to his personal wealth since the pandemic started. And during this same period, 55 million Americans lost their jobs. Now, the molding of the public into warring factions works commercially. It works politically. It destroys, as it is designed to do, class solidarity. But it's also a recipe for social disintegration. It propels us towards the kind of Hobbesian world Primo Levi and Sigmund Freud warned us about. Political stagnation and corruption, along with economic and social misery, spawn crisis cults, movements led by demagogues that prey on the unbearable psychological and financial distress and champion violence as a form of moral purification. These crisis cults, already well established among followers of the Christian right, right-wing militia groups, and many of those who back Donald Trump, who look at him not so much as a politician but as a cult leader, all peddle magical thinking and an infantilism that promises, if you surrender all autonomy, prosperity, restored national glory, a return to a mythical past, order and security. For this reason, Trump is the symptom. He is not the disease. And if he leaves office, far more competent and dangerous demagogues will rise if the social conditions are not radically improved to take his place.
Well, you're listening to a speech by Chris Hedges. This was recorded just before the election of 2020, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan, and joining me is Rob Laura, and we're going to thank some people who have already donated during this Chris Hedges speech. I'd like to thank Anonymous from, I can't tell from where, but a $78.75 donation says, keep it up. So, oh, thank you, Anonymous. I appreciate the kind words. Pat and Doug McDowell from Land O'Lakes, $100 contribution is getting a WMNF face mask, and they appreciate the source of valuable information, so thank you for that. Also, Andre Days is donating $100, is getting a WMNF t-shirt, says, love you guys and your work, especially Mark Bureau. Thank you for that. Also, Susan from St. Pete, $80 contribution, is getting the peace magnet. Susan says, I don't know what I'd do without you. The number to call in to make your donation is 813-238-8001. You can also donate on WMNF.org. And for an $80 contribution, you can get a CD copy of this speech by Chris Hedges. Rob, do you have people to thank?
Just one, Sean. Thanks to Anonymous in Dunedin, who has just made a $240 contribution to WMNF. That's a big help. And Sean, with those donations that you read and this one that I just read, we are just one donation away from reaching where we want to be during this hour on Midpoint. Midpoint has had a lot of support today. You can get this Chris Hedges speech if you make a donation of $80. You can make a donation online at WMNF.org, or you can call one of our friendly phone answers at 813-238-8001. We've got a great group of phone answers back there. We do need one more $100 donation. We'll be where we want to be. We'll reach that goal and exceed it by a little bit. 813-238-8001. We hope that there's one hero out there that can call us now, or go online, or use their WMNF phone app if you're listening to MNF somewhere around the world or around the city or around the state. Please go to your MNF phone app, and there's something called Tip Jar on the phone app, and you can make a contribution there. Somebody asked us, Sean, to explain Circle of Friends.
Yeah.
And so Circle of Friends is a way that it's what every other organization, nonprofit, calls a sustaining member. So if you want to join our Circle of Friends, you will allow us to go into your checking account, and once a month at a given time that you tell us, we'll take out $5 or $10, or in some cases, people give us $20 a month or $50 a month, depending on your budget. But a lot of people are doing $10 a month. And that's our Circle of Friends, where you can become a sustaining member. What Circle of Friends does, it brings in a lot of money through the course of the year. In small amounts, $5, $10, $20, $50, and it allows us to do less fundraising on the air. Now, already, MNF is fundraising less this fiscal year. Our fiscal year begins October 1st. We're fundraising less this fiscal year than we have before. We're doing fewer days of fundraising. You remember back in October, we did, I think, 5 days, maybe we did 6 days, but we didn't do the traditional 7-day fund drive, and we reached our goals, or close. We came up a little bit short. But we're hoping that by doing these short 2-day drives, this is the last day of the drive, and this is the last public affairs show of the drive. And we're hoping that one hero will call us at 813-238-8001. One hero will put us over the top and make that $100 contribution. And remember, you can get this Chris Hedges speech on CD. We've got the WMNF face mask if you want to go out in public and not endanger other people. We've got the great new WMNF t-shirt. You can have the t-shirt for an $88.50 donation. It's red, and it kind of gives a mini history of MNF. It's really quite clever. And it's a beautiful red 100% cotton T-shirt. And Sean, I'm looking at the phone lines. We're not getting that last call.
Yeah, for the first time in hours, we are not. We don't have a full bank of phone lines. So if you'd like to call and get a copy of this Chris Hedges CD, 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org or the WMNF app. We just need one more person. It'll put us over our goal for this hour.
And remember that on this Midpoint program on Monday, Sean always brings something interesting. He'll bring a debate about a congressional race, or maybe he'll bring a forum of people running for an important local office. He brings speeches. And Sean has done so many incredible things here on Monday on Midpoint. We hope that you will support Sean and say, hey, Sean, you're doing a great job. You're covering a lot of local and state issues, and we really appreciate the time you give to these important issues. Last week he had on Congresswoman Kathy Castor, and it was before all hell broke loose in Washington, D.C., but it was a powerful interview. And so please keep us on the air with your contribution and tell Sean that you like his Midpoint program. We just need one more $100 donation. And Sean, maybe we should go back to the speech and hope that one person will call.
Yeah, so we'd like to hear from you, 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org or the WMNF phone app. Make your contributions there. Let's listen to about 10 or 15 more minutes of this speech by Chris Hedges. You can get a copy, a CD copy of this speech for a donation of $80. Here's Chris Hedges speaking October of 2020 about the politics beyond the politics of despair.
444-1977. Our special book is by Noam Chomsky, Requiem for the American Dream. We're offering you, our listeners, written transcripts, PDFs and MP3s free of charge of this program. Just call us at 1-800-444-1977. Our website, alternativeradio.org.
I fear we are headed towards a Christianized fascism. The greatest moral failing of the liberal church, which I come out of, was its refusal, justified in the name of tolerance and dialogue, to denounce the followers of the Christian right as heretics. By tolerating the intolerant, it ceded religious legitimacy to an array of con artists, charlatans, and demagogues, along with their cultish supporters. It stood by as the core gospel message, concern for the poor and the oppressed, was perverted into a magical world where God and Jesus showered believers with material wealth and power. The white race became God's chosen agent. Imperialism and war became divine instruments for purging the world of infidels and barbarians, evil itself. Capitalism, because God blessed the righteous with wealth and power and condemned the immoral to poverty and suffering, became shorn of its inherent cruelty and exploitation. The iconography and symbols of American nationalism became intertwined with the iconography and symbols of the Christian faith. The mega pastors, narcissists, who ruled despotic, cult-like fiefdoms, make millions of dollars by using this heretical belief system to prey on the despair and desperation of their congregations, victims of neoliberalism and deindustrialization. And these megapastors, champions of the unfettered greed, cult of masculinity, lust for violence, white supremacy, bigotry, American chauvinism, religious intolerance, anger, racism, and conspiracy theories that are at the core of the Christian right. When I wrote my book, American Fascists, the Christian Right, and the War on America, I was quite serious about the term fascist. Tens of millions of Americans live hermetically sealed inside the vast media and educational edifice erected by the Christian right. In this world, miracles are real. Satan, allied with liberal, secular humanists and the deep state, along with Muslims, immigrants, feminists, intellectuals, artists, and a host of other internal enemies, is seeking to destroy America. Trump's legacy will, I fear, be the empowerment of the Christian fascists. They are what comes next. For decades, the Christian fascists have been organizing to take power. They have built infrastructures and organizations, including lobbying groups, schools, colleges, and law schools, as well as media platforms to prepare. They have seeded their cadre into positions of power. We on the left, meanwhile, have seen our institutions and organizations destroyed or corrupted by corporate power and been seduced by the boutique activism of identity politics. FRC Action, the legislative affiliate of the Family Research Council, already gives 245 members of Congress a 100% approval rating for supporting legislation that is backed by the Christian right. Christian fascism is an emotional life raft for tens of millions of Americans. It is impervious to science and verifiable fact. The Christian fascists by choice have severed themselves from rational thought, and the secular society that almost destroyed them and their families and thrust them into deep despair. We will not placate or disarm this movement, bent on our destruction. By attempting to claim that we too have Christian values, this appeal only strengthens the legitimacy of Christian heretics and weakens our own. These dispossessed people will either be reintegrated into the economy and the society, and their shattered social bonds mended, or the movement will grow more virulent and more powerful. The Christian right is determined to keep the public focus on societal or ethical, as opposed to economic issues. The road to despotism is always paved with righteousness. All fascist movements paper over their squalid belief systems with the veneer of morality. They mouth pieties about restoring law and order, right and wrong, the sanctity of life, civic and family virtues, patriotism and tradition to mask their dismantling of the open society and silencing and persecution of those who dissent. Capitalism, driven by the obsession to maximize profit and reduce the cost of labor by slashing workers' rights and wages, is antithetical to the Christian gospel, as well as the Enlightenment ethic of Immanuel Kant. But capitalism in the hands of the Christian fascists has become sacralized in the form of the prosperity gospel, the belief that Jesus came to minister to our material needs, blessing believers with wealth and power. The prosperity gospel is an ideological cover for the slow-motion corporate coup d'etat. And this is why large corporations such as Tyson Foods, which places Christian right chaplains in its plants, Purdue, Walmart, and Sam's Warehouse, along with many other corporations, pour money into the movement and its institutions, such as Liberty University and Patrick Henry Law School. This is why corporations have given millions to groups such as the Judicial Crisis Network and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to campaign for Barrett's appointment to the court. Barrett has ruled to cheat gig workers out of overtime, greenlight fossil fuel extraction and pollution, gut Obamacare, and strip consumers of protection from corporate funds. Barrett, as a circuit court judge, heard at least 55 cases in which citizens challenged corporate abuse and fraud, and she ruled in favor of corporations 76% of the time. Our corporate masters do not care about abortion, gun rights, or the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. But like the German industrialists who backed the Nazi Party, they know that the Christian right will give an ideological veneer to ruthless corporate tyranny. These oligarchs view the Christian fascists the same way that German industrialists viewed the Nazis, as buffoons. They are aware that the Christian fascists will trash what is left of our anemic democracy and the ecosystem. But they also know they will make huge profits in the process, and the rights of workers and citizens will be ruthlessly suppressed. If you are poor, if you lack proper medical care, if you are paid substandard wages, if you are trapped in poverty, if you are a victim of police violence, this is because, according to the prosperity gospel, you are not a good Christian. In this belief system, you deserve what you get. There is nothing wrong, these homegrown fascists preach, with the structures or systems of power. Like all totalitarian movements, followers are seduced into calling for their own enslavement. As the Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels understood, the best propaganda is that which, as it were, works invisibly, penetrates the whole of life without the public having any knowledge of the propagandistic initiative. The tinder that could ignite violent conflagrations lies ominously stacked around us. It may be set off by Trump's defeat in the election. Millions of disenfranchised white Americans who see no way out of their economic and social misery, struggling with an emotional void, are seething with rage against a corrupt ruling elite and bankrupt liberal class that betrayed them. They're tired of the political stagnation, grotesque, mounting social inequality, and the punishing fallout from the pandemic. Millions more alienated young men and women also locked out of the economy and with no realistic prospect for advancement or integration, gripped by the same emotional void, have harnessed their fury in the name of tearing down the governing structures and anti-fascism.
Wow. Well, how about that for a prediction? This was from October of 2020, a speech by Chris Hedges. He said if Trump loses, there might be fascist mobs that try to do violence. Well, unfortunately, a lot of that prediction has come to pass, and we may see even more of it in the next week or two. Well, let's hope not. But thank you for listening to that speech by Chris Hedges. It was called Beyond the Politics of Despair. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa. And I'd like to thank some people who helped put us over the top for our goal. I would like to thank Anonymous here, who is getting a copy of this speech on the CD. And he's from St. Petersburg. He or she is donating $100. Thank you so much. Also Anonymous, $105 contribution, is getting the WMNF Peace Magnet. Says, thank you, Rob, for your programming, so incredibly needed during these difficult times. Also, I would like to thank Lisa with a $143 contribution, is getting a book for her thank you gift. And this is what Lisa says. Lisa says, I'm giving $143 to WMNF in memory of Mr. Rogers, who is a Republican who I'm certain would never endorse the division promoted by the incumbent POTUS. Mr. Rogers recognized this number as indicating the numbers, the letters in the phrase, I love you, 143. So thank you, Lisa, for that. Also, Kathleen is contributing $100 and says, I love you guys. So thank you for those donations that have helped put us over the top. And Rob has some people to thank as well.
We should say, too, that our new station manager, Rick Fernandez, used to work for the Mr. Rogers organization. So Rick is all about peace and love and treating your neighbor in a kind way. So thank you for that contribution. Here's a donation. I think this is Anonymous, $100 contribution. And thank you, Anonymous, for making that contribution from St. Petersburg. And also Eric Bestman from St. Pete made a $100 contribution taking the MNF face mask, loves it all. Well, Sean, with that, we reached our goal for news and public affairs, and people that enjoy listening to WMNF News and Public Affairs should take heart that the great programs that Sean puts on and all the news and public affairs programmers put on, it's being really well supported by wonderful people here in the Tampa Bay area, and it means that you are not alone. It means that there are people that are concerned about peace and democracy and the future of humanity, and they don't think that violently taking over the Capitol is the right thing to do. A lot of people here in the Tampa Bay area believe in truth and honesty, so thank you. Thank you for your contribution.
And thanks, Rob, for helping me during this show, and I want to thank everyone who donated today. We raised more than $10,000 since Democracy Now! Began at 9 this morning, and I'm Sean Canaan with Rob Lori. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for Latino 1954 Support a Great Music Show. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to everyone who has donated so far. There's still time for you to contribute to keep WMNF on the air by going to 813-238-8001 or making a donation at WMNF.org or on the WMNF app. Thanks so much for listening. Here's NPR. Stay tuned for Latino 54.